Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today I hope you are just enjoying magnificent weather. I am, and so is my guest, but she says in Southern California it's hot and humid, but what do we care? We're going to be talking today about destiny versus choice. So we're going to just sit back, relax, and enjoy Marie Jones. Marie, welcome to the show.
Well, it's good to be back.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure. I don't know where you find all the time to do all this writing. I mean, you must be doing it in your sleep. It seems like just one book is finished and bingo, you've got another one out.
Yeah, and the funny thing is I was supposed to take a break, but that never seems to happen.
I know.
I write
feeling.
Fast. I know.
Well,
you know how that is, huh? Breaks
yes,
just never
I do.
To happen.
Now, you have had a chance to be on the History Channel. For those in my audience that are not familiar with you, that have never met you before, you have written the book The Deja Vu Enigma, 1111, mm-hmm. The Time Prompt Phenomenon, and 2013, End of Days or A New Beginning. Mm-hmm. So this is an area dealing with the paranormal, the unique, the unusual.
Right.
And getting into a lot of myths really is something you enjoy.
I love it, and that's why I write about it. Writing a book, you know, it's grueling, hard work, especially the research. So I figure I'm not going to do it unless it's something I'm really excited and passionate about. Otherwise, it's just not worth it.
Well, you know, I think that the more we can talk about variables, the better it is. And
right.
In my perception, when we make it into woo-woo, then we've got a challenge, because then you've got so much confusing mental muck. That's what
right.
I describe
mm-hmm.
it as.
Absolutely.
And people get very frightened. They get very confused. They have all of this fear and ignorance and superstition that surrounds them. And they really, I just encountered this not very long ago with someone who was incredibly talented as psychically and otherwise, and because of the way they were raised, they were just terrified to even bring up certain experiences they had, because they just thought, oh my goodness, there's something wrong with me. I said,
right.
No,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing
yeah.
wrong with you at all. So that is something that you really take head on, and I really respect you for that. Now, you start off your book in your introduction with these statements. You can't avoid it. It's written in the stars. We were meant to be. He was destined to be a success. She chose to be a failure. Life is what you make it. Choose your thoughts and choose your life. Okay, these are all terms we all have heard.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And they could be applied to just about everybody.
Mm-hmm. Right. They're a part of our language now. Catchphrases.
Yes, they are. When you were putting this together, we live in a time where things are moving so fast, and people that really use astrology as a tool, or they go to an intuitive for readings, they utilize different people for their different skill sets. It has been my observation that nobody comes into this life with a blank slate. I can
right.
look at a baby, and you see patterns and all kinds of things around them, but there is choice, and there is destiny. Why did you choose this arena? Because many times someone would say, well, it's contradiction.
I chose it because I was going through the same debate, I guess, in my own head for years. And of course, in my own life, I felt the presence of a very distinct destiny from a very early age. But I also knew that I had choices as to whether or not I was going to get there to that end point, how I was going to do it, who I might do it with, or even the choice to not do it. And I just really, the timing felt right. I had a lot of people asking me to, are you ever going to write about destiny? Because I'd referred to it now and then in other books, and I mm-hmm. thought, you know what? the time is right because I want to take this journey too and see what I can find out. And it really, this book is probably the most personal one that I've done. It was just like going on a journey with the reader as I was writing it.
You use a term called determinism. What is that in your definition?
Determinism is one of the many philosophical descriptions of the idea that there is a sense that things have been determined beforehand. So whether we're talking about past lives or, you know, just at the moment of birth or conception, the idea that there is something or someone, depends on what your beliefs are, that has laid down a particular plan for you, for the planet, for anything. I mean, determinism can really apply to a lot of things. What I found really interesting is that in philosophy, you know how philosophers are, they have to categorize everything and they have to subcategorize it. And it gets to the point where it was so tedious because they had so many different descriptions for different types of destiny that I felt like screaming. It's like, you know what, let's keep this simple. Mm-hmm. We're talking mm-hmm. about the idea of either life being made up as you go along or having some kind of predetermined or predestined blueprint that one can follow. And that's really what it all boiled down to.
Whenever you read history, every mm-hmm. single person in whatever life experience they are going through is living in a very individualistic experience. Yet at the same time, they're part of a huge, huge tapestry
right.
of action and results, and it is sometimes some of them are just seemingly are swept along, and there are some people that I have found it's as if you could look at their life and it's like reading a book. You go from page 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to
right.
5 to 6 to 7, and then there are others, you go to 1, and then maybe you skip to 16, and then you say, well, let's see, I'm at 450, and I can't see the rest of it. And it's a fascinating variable. It really, really is. I cannot put people in a box. When I'm talking about someone, I may give perceived descriptions.
Right, exactly.
But that's just from my positioning of observation. There
right.
are many different facets that I may not even have a capacity of seeing dependent on circumstances. Is that what you found?
Absolutely, and I think the same applies for the individual, that you may not see the bigger picture of your life. You don't necessarily see the variables at when they're present. A lot of times people will say that when they get to the end of their life, or maybe they get to a certain point in their life, where they're able to look back and they see a trajectory, they see a pattern that emerges. That doesn't mean that it's all good stuff. There's a lot of challenges. There may be tragedies and all kinds of traumas and emotional challenges that come up, but there is a plan. It just feels to the individual that their life had a purpose. And I love the word trajectory because a lot of people feel like my life is going somewhere. It's not just, I wasn't just thrown here at random to stumble about and just try to make the best choices I can, although that does come into play. Because,
mm-hmm.
again, even if you feel with 100% certainty, as I do, that you have a destiny, you still have choice. And that is one of the challenges of this lifetime, is to either, you know, become who you were meant to be fully and or not, or become mm-hmm. a little bit of it. And everybody's
mm-hmm.
got the choice to do that.
I think it's so fascinating when you look at the particular social structure that we have today, and when you look at the symbols and images, through advertising, through social expectations, environmental expectations, however you want to describe it.
Right.
And in my observation, part of what is considered as destiny for the individual is discovering their own uniqueness.
Absolutely.
They have this uniqueness that makes what they are and who they are exceptional in its own manner. We're all sort of like cells in this phenomenally infinite universe, and each
right.
and every cell has its
a purpose,
its life and its purpose and its function, and we get to be in there, and it's really intriguing. I mean, we develop paradigms that we think this is what we're supposed to do. I think of somebody that thought their destiny was to be a multimillionaire by the time they were 32. And when they hadn't reached it, they said, oh, well, this is just terrible. My life has just gone to you-know-where in a handbasket. And I looked at him. I said, you nuts?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, what's the matter with you? So let's talk about something that you bring up in your book. You have a chapter called Written in the Stars, The Destiny of Divination.
Oh,
and
yes.
And the first subject you bring up is that of palmistry, which I think is incredibly interesting.
Right.
And it's been going on forever. I mean, there are people that have learned about this. You know, historically, the gypsies have been known for doing this, but it's a fascinating topic. Somewhere in my library, I've got a book on a guy who did research on this with people in prison and the things that he found out. It's amazing. What got your curiosity up into this area?
Well, I knew that if I was going to talk about destiny, I was going to have to get into divination, such as astrology, numerology, any kind of reading the future, because that's what people are so drawn to. They like to go
mm-hmm.
to palm readers and tarot readers and say, please help me. Am I going to find the love of my life, or am I going to get the job of my dreams? And what's interesting is when it comes to the palm or any other part of the body that is red, we do have a genetic blueprint. We do have a destiny in terms of our physicality. And perhaps indeed a part of that physicality or that physical blueprint also might include a personality blueprint or a characteristic blueprint. And so when people are reading your palm or your cranium or the cornea of the eye or anything else that people can read, they may actually be seeing in you some type of genetic suggestion of where your life might be heading. Now, interestingly, when I talked to astrologers and numerologists for this chapter, I really thought I was going to find them say things like, well, yes, it's all in the stars, and, you know, if Jupiter says this and your moon is here in this house, that's it. But they all said the same thing. This is just a template. These are energy templates, and you can buy into them. You can pick and choose from them. You can align with them. You can learn from them, but you're not beholden to these concepts, to these ideas. And I think a lot of people fall prey to that. For example, I'm a Libra, and I, you know, you always hear that Libras can't make decisions. And I find myself all the time saying, oh, I'm a Libra, you know me, I can't make decisions. And I have to catch myself and say, whoa,
mm-hmm.
what am I doing? You know, why mm-hmm. am I buying into this? So I was really surprised because I thought for sure a lot of these people were going to be a lot more firm about the fate aspect of divination, but they were not. They were very much all about the idea that these are blueprints. It's like going to Hawaii. You know you're going to go to Hawaii, but you got a million different ways or times or, you know, people that you can go with. So there's still an awful lot of choice involved as to what aspect of these energy templates you're going to manifest.
I agree. And I think that there is a need to be able to empower people.
Right.
And when I became involved in the work of mind, I can remember my mentor, I had said to her, I'd gone to some class and seen some people demonstrate certain thinking patterns, and I said, if all people are ever interested in is seeing Uncle Henry coming up through the floor, I really don't care to even go
right.
further with any of this study because it's ridiculous. It doesn't help
right.
people. It doesn't
yeah.
give them any kind of tool to make their life better. And she just smiled and said, congratulations, you've just graduated.
Ah, you passed.
I passed the test. And what I didn't even know I was being tested.
There
I
you
really,
go.
You know, it's interesting. Mm. But there are a lot of those paradigms that are brought out, and that's why I enjoyed your book so much, Destiny and Choice, because you give some variables of thinking that enables people to say, okay, how do I use this? Now, divination
right.
goes back as far as mankind has been around.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, there's the runes. People in Africa use bones and stones and feathers
right.
and
right.
all kinds of things. It doesn't make any difference. I've told students you can use goat dendrils if you want to. That's what Romans did, and everybody turns
oh
green when I say that.
there you go.
Seriously, it all depends on your culture. It depends on who you are affiliated with. Where do you come from? Maybe tea leaves were the deal when you were growing up. Maybe it was a neighborhood lady that was doing something like this. It's a fascinating amount of life that I think just creates a curiosity that I think is wonderful. I think curiosity enables us to open up new paradigms. Now, you talk about the science of fate. We've been talking about the divination.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about the science of fate. And when I'm saying that, an image of a real old movie that I happened to see with Loretta Young, she was wearing, the reason I remember it is that she had on the most gorgeous gown I could ever imagine at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing her on the screen, and I was just gaga. But there, it was about her, and Tyrone Power. It was her and Tyrone Power, and they were talking about the man who built the Nile and the woman who ended up becoming queen. But this was before either one of them had done that, and they were at a social event. And there was this this seer that had a turban and had the very much the Middle Eastern mystique that they portrayed with his characterization. And he was reading sand, and he had them draw their fingers through the sand, and then he told them their future. And he told her that she was going to be a queen, and she would, a crown would be on her head. And she just laughed. She thought that was stupid. And then Tyrone Power was told that he was going to be digging ditches.
Oh, no.
This is the character in the movie, right?
Right.
And he ended up digging one of the biggest ditches in the world, and that was the Suez Canal.
Oh,
this is the portrayal that's done in the movie, and I never forgot that. And I thought, you know, how words are used makes a difference. And the
characters, we buy into things. They could become self-fulfilling prophecies, and somebody tells us something, and the seed gets planted in the back of our heads, and we end up possibly living our destiny, or we may end up living a destiny somebody else planted in our heads, and
mm-hmm.
that's where it gets very tricky. And I think people can use their intuition and really have to turn inward to get those answers rather than focus on what people outside of you can tell you. They can certainly be helpful, but your destiny, the call of your destiny, is going to come from within. And we just really need to learn how to remember to pay attention to those inner calls, whether it's intuition or gut instinct or inspiration, ideas that pop up, something you feel compelled to do. You know, we ignore all that stuff because it's not intellectual. It's not rational. It doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. It really is fascinating. Now, you have a chapter on cosmic plans, quantum possibilities.
Right.
What is the quantum enigma?
Well, here's the thing. When it comes to destiny, the cosmic level is where we see a lot of intelligent design, if you want to call it that. We see a sophistication. We see a sort of a blueprint for how the universe came about and how it's created galaxies and stars, the laws of physics that we live in accordance with, and gravity, et cetera, et cetera. At the quantum level, the level of the very small subatomic particles, it's a completely different thing. It seems to be all about choice, because at the quantum level, it's all about probability. It's about potentiality. Nothing really exists until it's observed into existence. So that suggests that perhaps the observer is making the choice of what to bring into physical reality, as opposed to having to abide by physical laws that are already in place. So you've got these two very contradicting sciences at work here. We've got the cosmic and we've got the quantum. And yet I think there also is a way that they can exist together. I think, again, we're given that cosmic blueprint to operate within. And yet on the more individual or more quantum scale, we're given choice. And I really saw that pattern over and over in every different angle that I looked at. That yes, there is a blueprint, and some of the things are out of our control. We don't control the laws of thermodynamics, but are we creating our reality as we go along with our thoughts and intentions and our behaviors and actions? So we're operating within this blueprint.
That brings me to the point of DNA, and you go into this in your book. Now, this goes back to what you mentioned a little bit earlier, regarding genetic destiny,
right,
and
right.
that we physiologically do inherit certain patterns. Let's address this. Can this be changed if under certain circumstances, or
Absolutely.
Are we stuck with what we got?
I think things like, you know, eye color and height, you'd have a real hard time permanently changing. I don't know that we really want to mess with those things. But certainly, if you don't like your blue eyes, you can go get some brown contact lenses. But when it comes to things like, you know, other aspects of genetic diseases or inherited behaviors, we now understand that a lot of behaviors are inherited. They're not necessarily the result of environment. They're not nurture, they're nature. But there still is quite a bit about us as human beings that we do have some say over. You can be born with a genetic disease, and we are now altering genes. We're tampering with them. I'm not sure it's always a good thing, but we are doing research that may eventually allow us to change the DNA that is not working properly in our bodies. But I think at some point, though, you're still a product of your parents. Because the two people that got together and gave birth to you are pretty much giving you a blueprint for what you're going to look like. And, you know, again, you'll still have a lot of choice to move about within that, but you're still going to look the same. Your bone, the build that you have, your bone structure, all of that is pre-planned.
Well, there is so much to that. And what you mentioned about behavior, it has been an observation of mine that many times you will look at certain tendencies and certain patterns, and I can say this with certain members of family that I'm aware of, there is a definite association with certain personality types within the family. And you look at that, and I remember talking about this with a friend, and they said, my goodness, this youngster was raised this way, da-da-da-da-da, all of this A plus B equals C.
Right.
And they ended up being X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
Just like so-and-so that was their father or whatever. And it's amazing. It's just like someone that is a redhead in a family that's typically blonde. They go, uh-oh, who was mom playing with? That's the first joke. She's got red hair, green eyes. Well,
exactly.
Maybe there's some Irish ancestry that was floating around that all of a sudden decided to pop up and say hello.
Pop up at just that right time, huh?
Yeah. It really is a fascinating, fascinating situation. And you go into final or forever, beyond the veil of death. And
right.
I thought, now this is interesting. Why is it you'd bring this up in the book, Destiny versus Choice?
I think the ultimate question most people have in their minds is what happens after we die. Is this a one-shot deal? Are we going to just, you know, everything going to fade to black and that's it? The idea being that if we do continue on and if we have lived before, that really speaks strongly to a purpose or a motivation for whatever it was that put us here, whether it was God or Source or whatever, that there was some kind of purpose and meaning to us being here. And if we continue on afterwards, obviously, this isn't just a random one-shot deal. And a lot of people that have had near-death experiences certainly have come back from those experiences and said, I was told on the other side, you need to go back because you're not done with what you were put there to do. You need to go back and carry out your purpose. So we love these stories. We love to think about life after death because it is a very strong hint that there is meaning and purpose to our lives and that we're not just here for one go-around.
I agree. And there's just so many experiences that people have had, and they'll share them and they talk about them. And again, that's what I like about your book, Destiny versus Choice, because it brings in many different paradigms of thinking.
Right.
And whether someone agrees with all of it or not is not the issue. The
right.
issue is, let's throw these thoughts out. What do you think about them? How do they feel? What would you say against it, and or what would you say for it, and why? And I think open discussion is paramount. Now, you have a delightful story in your book by a woman, Sarah Harrison. And the question was, could my childhood writing have led me to my destiny?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that story was charming. Would you like to share it with my listeners?
It is. I'm going to have to kind of glance through it again because there were so many stories, but I believe this is the one that was married to the prince.
This is the one, yes.
Yes.
She is the one, she wrote a story, and she said that when she was little, she loved to write. And on her wedding day in 1990, her mother gave one of the stories that she had written to her. She'd saved her stories.
Right, right.
And it was about foreign
a prince.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Who was tall.
Yeah.
Spoke a different language and wanted her to go to his country and marry her. But the family was very concerned. And guess what? The prince was poor.
Right. And a lot different from the original description, too.
Right.
But, yeah, you know, I mean, and then, he became rich, and her daughters grew up with nice lives. It eventually, because I know Sarah well, and she's a wonderful person, she ended up meeting her soulmate, her husband, her current husband, through that journey. So what might have looked like a big mistake to begin with was actually just one of the many pieces of the puzzle of her life. The story that she wrote came true, in a sense. But it led to another story, which was her new husband, who she loves now, and of course, her writing career has taken off. So yeah, and I love all the stories in there. There were so many of them. I have to read back through them. Mm-hmm. And I got so many submissions. And the funny thing is, every single person who submitted a story was sort of pro-destiny, if you want to say. They really felt like it had something to do with how their lives turned out or were turning out.
I think many times when you can look back and you can look at the thread that goes through various choices and decisions, it's really fascinating. With Sarah, in her story to you, she said that a fortune teller once told her that when two people are meant to be together, they'll get together no matter what happens. Going to bring them together. And she said sometimes it's also necessary to marry the wrong partner in order to set up the right circumstances for meeting one's true soulmate. And I can resonate with that. I think that so often occurs. And she said when she looks back on the stories that she wrote, and that one in particular, as a child, she seemed to know the script that she was going to be working through in her life experience.
I think we do as children. I knew from a very early age that I would become a writer. I couldn't explain why or how, and I think there's that wise part of us when we come into the world and we're still innocent children that knows where we're supposed to end up at the very least. And then as we get older, we stop listening to that part of ourselves, the intuition, the heart, what have you. We start to listen to the brain and the intellect and reasoning, and I should do this, and my parents expect me to do this, and we live our lives that way. But mm-hmm. then things will happen that will remind us to, you know, oh, my gosh, there really is a plan for me. There really is a pattern. And, you know, as Sarah said, you'll meet that person or you will get that opportunity no matter what if it is a part of your destiny. You may avoid it for a while. You may resist it for a while, but eventually it's going to happen if it is a part of your destiny. And I think there's something really comforting and hopeful in that for people that think, oh, you know, I'm divorced or I'm a widow and I'm never going to love again. Well, you don't know mm-hmm. that. You do not know that. Keep
absolutely
open.
Absolutely true. Absolutely
right.
True. Life is a fascinating adventure and you never know what's going to open a door for you.
Exactly.
That you would never in a million years have even thought of mm-hmm. going through. Just never would ever imagine. It is an adventure. I can say that most affirmatively. And
right.
It's a fascinating one. Marie, you have a website. Where can people go to find out more about your publications, what you're doing, etc.?
They can go to www.mariedjones.com. Very easy. And find out everything that's going on.
All right. mariedjones.com. Her latest book, Destiny versus Choice. It is a great book to have because it's going to give you not pseudo-intellectual stuff. It's going to give you some very down-to-earth perspectives that you can explore and feel totally safe with. And you can say, gee, this is something. Maybe I want some more information on this. and then go to your local library, your local friendly bookstore, whatever you want to do, and you can explore it. But check out her book, Destiny Versus Choice. Marie Joines, thank you very much for being my guest today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
It's a delight as always. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a minute. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number, if you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial. Of course, I love to know what part of the country or world you're calling in from. And then let me tell you what I perceive. And, of course, you're always welcome to ask a question. That, again, is 888-627-6008. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with John Schuster, The Power of Your Past. Too many times, our past is like an over-the-hill heavy backpack that we just wear and wear and wear, and we just get so burdened with it. Well, we're going to figure out how to use it. And then on Friday, you're going to be hearing a recorded interview with my friend Tom Sawyer, who is the writer and producer of the very, very famous series Murder, She Wrote. So if you're a mystery buff, you're not going to want to miss it. He is going to be talking about his book, The 16th Man, which has a lot of fascinating history to it. So that's what we've got coming up this week, and I hope you'll tell your friends and join us because we'll have a good time. Now, what I wanted to do was share with you one of the stories that Marie had in her book, and it was by a man. His name is Jim, and he said, in his view, destiny just called him, and it had to do with a relationship. He said in 1998, he applied to start his university course training. He spoke to a woman on the phone at the university that he wanted to attend. He talked to her more than once before the course he applied for started. And they talked about different things, and they invariably got into disagreements. And he said, I remember vividly, after one particular conversation, I thought to myself, what a cow. Yes, that's what he thought. What a cow. How unreasonable a person this woman is. Well, He said, in retrospect, he said, it must be said that the one that was being unreasonable was me, probably because I was getting too anxious about maybe not being able to get into the course I so very much wanted to attend. Well, on the day of the enrollment for the course, he was ushered towards, he said, a very slim, very attractive blonde lady who introduced herself. This was the woman he had had all of the arguments with over the telephone throughout the previous summer. This is the woman he had said, what a cow. Well, as it turned out, within a few weeks, they were dating, and 4 years later, they ended up getting married in Cornwall, England, and they're happily married today. So sometimes, as Marie was saying, we may have experiences or we have these paradigms, these attitudes, and we just think, well, that's just the way it's going to be, and I'm just going to be going along ho-hum and maybe fall off a wall like Humpty Dumpty and never be able to pick myself back up again. But that's not true. Many times our perceived images are not necessarily going to be what we are going to find life unfolds for us. It's really quite interesting, very, very interesting. Well, I have something about personality insight, and this is fun. This is really fun. And by the way, if you want to give me a call, 888-627-6008. Now, this always intrigues me because I cannot put certain things in boxes. I find people are so fascinating, and there are so many options and choices and attitudes and perspectives that it just is very hard for me to try to compartmentalize people. And I realize there's many aspects to people, and we have to be open to be able to really get a good perspective, an honest perspective. Well, someone did some research. In fact, it was a woman by the name of Susan Dellinger. And she said, you need to be aware of the fact that certain forms, certain design styles, if you're drawn to them, they indicate a certain personality type. And so I wanted to share this with you because it's really fascinating. If when you're doodling or when you're designing things or you pick materials or things in your environment and the way you lay out offices, etc., form indicates certain particulars. Now, if you're drawn to rectangles, let's say rectangle, squiggle, triangle, diamond, circle, or square, we'll just take those. If you enjoy a rectangle or you like that structure, it just feels good to you, what it is representing is that you're pushing past boundaries. You're going upward and outward. And you're the type of person, if that is something you like to doodle, let's say, a rectangle, it means that you are very curious and you're looking for new experiences that are going to take you out of the box. So here are some professions that you would be suited for. Journalist, travel guide, flight attendant, resort or hospitality worker, a photographer. And then, what if you just squiggle? And you're just making little squiggles all over the place. Now, squiggles have their own personality. They have a mind of their own. And it is that unconventionality. You're a rule breaker many times. You don't have fear about doing your own thing. You really like to do that. Now, what's good for you is marketing, advertising, art therapist, music teacher, interior decorator, manicurist, hairstylist. Being an entrepreneur is going to be perhaps something that would appeal to you because you want to set your own individual pace. Now, what if a triangle is a form that you like? Well, it means that you're a very confident leader. And a triangle, if it had a motto, it would be go straight to the top. Of course, the triangle has the apex at the top. You're a natural leader. You like to see possibilities, and you won't give up on accomplishing what you want until your goals are met. Now, a teacher, probably a natural-born teacher. You would be very good as a coordinator for business, store manager, sales, or human resources. someone that is just really goal-oriented in a particular venue. Now, diamond, if you like drawing diamonds. Diamonds, all automatically, when we think of a diamond, we think of multi-facets and layers. And, of course, a diamond, when it is polished and it's cut, just radiates all kinds of colors and different aspects. It's just amazing. So it represents, the diamond form represents independence. It represents self-motivation and anything that you love. Your independent spirit loves, that's what you're going to be drawn to. So you'd be great working on the internet, let's say as a blogger, you having a business of your own, you're as a writer, public relations, being in real estate. You have many facets to yourself, and that independence is just a part of your soul that you will never give up. Now, what if you're a circle person? You draw a lot of circles. Well, it is considered one of the most fluid of shapes. There's no hard edges to it, no rough spots. Typically, you're a warm, intuitive person. You have patience, and you're willing to work with anyone. You'd be very good in the medical field as a social worker, a counselor. You'd be outstanding. Anything that requires compassion and that type of persona to help people work through their issues is something that you would fit very well. And what about a square? Just square. Just drawing a bunch of little squares. You are detail-oriented, and you are like a sponge. You absorb all kinds of information. And one of the qualities about you that is really special is that you don't cut corners. You want to make sure that whatever you do is going to be exactly what it should be. You are going to make sure that it's going to have the quality that it has. So you're very good in the researching environment, and you want to be able to use knowledge. You want to be able to use it as a springboard to go forward. You just don't want to get stuck in modalities. So paralegal, office manager, lab technician, bookkeeper, data analyst, organizer, an assistant to someone. I mean, there's just so many different positions, and of course, these are just a few examples, but I thought I'd share that with you. So if you find yourself doodling, rectangle, squiggle, triangle, circle, diamond, square, or anything else, realize that you are expressing a part of yourself when you do that. It's really fascinating, fascinating stuff. I just think it's extremely interesting. We always show ourselves in so many different ways, but sometimes we have to wake up to who we are in our own unique individuality. You're a work in progress, and isn't that wonderful? This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. When we come back, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and some more of something else. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be chatting again, 888-627-6008, if you'd like to call in and chat with me directly. I'd welcome your call. Donna Sebo here. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny. They will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. I wanted to share a recipe with you, steak with feta cheese. Now, this is something that has sweet onion rings, etc., so get yourself a pad of paper and a pen if you'd like to have the recipe. Also, I wanted to just give a couple of tips regarding school. The school buses, my goodness, they're out there transporting children. This is an incredibly busy week, going back to school and all of the new adjustments in schedules. It is amazing what is available to children, and as a parent, if you are dealing with youngsters going to school and you're wanting to have maybe some tools to help you out, here are some various freebies that you can get online to help the youngsters become better at reading and have fun with writing as well. Now, reading sentences, picking up new vocabulary words, and learning to alphabetize lists, you can go to tlsbooks.com/EnglishWorksheets.htm. That's tlsbooks.com/EnglishWorksheets.htm. And also there's another site of abcschoolhelp.com, abcschoolhelp.com. Now, if you want them to practice their penmanship, and you can, the older kids can write school reports and stories, there's all kinds of lined paper that you can get at printablepaper.net, printablepaper.net, and there's another site, donnayoung.org/penmanship/paper.htm. And then there are worksheets for arithmetic, addition, subtraction, multiplication, other math skills, and all kinds of games. They're called superteacherworksheets.com. superteacherworksheets.com, and freeprintable.com /free-printable-math-worksheets. Amazing. Our world has been enhanced in many ways by our technology. And for those of you that are dealing with kids, here are some wonderful suggestions. And if you know of any teachers, share these sites with them as well, because it really, really can help you in a wonderful way. Okay, have you got that pad of paper and pen? Let's talk about steak with feta. Now, this has a Greek marinade that you put the meat into. And this is what you're going to need. A half a cup of dry red wine, or you can use beef broth. A half a cup of dry red wine or beef broth. And you're going to need a tablespoon of packed brown sugar, three tablespoons of olive oil, 2 cloves of garlic, you want to chop that up finely, and then 1.5 teaspoons of dried oregano, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and 1/4 teaspoon of ground cinnamon. Sounds a little strange, huh? Cinnamon with steak? You've got to be kidding. Well, try it. You might find you're just using a tiny bit. Now, the marinade, you take a shallow glass, and you can even use a plastic food storage bag if you want. Just put the wine, the brown sugar, the oil, the garlic, the oregano, the salt, and the cinnamon. Mix it in the plastic bag. Put your piece of beef in. You're going to need about 2 pounds of boneless beef sirloin steak, about 1 inch thick, and that's what you're going to need. You put that in. Now, you want to pierce your beef with the fork several times on both sides, and you add the beef to the marinade. Now, what you're also going to add to the marinade are 2 medium red onions, and you want to cut them into 1/2-inch thick slices, and you're going to put the onions right in there with the meat. So you can seal that bag, and probably going to be a gallon bag. You just seal it and or put it in a dish and cover it with the marinade, and you need to put it in your refrigerator for about 8 hours. At least 8 hours. And if you want, you can set this up maybe a day before if you were going to have a barbecue or if you wanted to grill it under the broiler. Then, however you want to fix it, the marinade will permeate the meat because you punctured it with the fork. Now, the grill or the broiler, of course, when it comes time, you're just going to take your beef steak, remove it from the marinade, put your marinade to the side, put your beef and onions under the broiler if you don't have a grill. If you have a grill, you use medium heat, and you put it, or the broiler, set it down so it's not real close to the broiler level so that it's going to cook just nicely, and you're only going to turn the meat once. So you want 7 to 10 minutes per side for medium. If you want it rare, a little bit less than that. And then your beef, you're going to have already a package, a 4-ounce package of crumbled feta cheese, a little bit of chopped fresh parsley, and you put that on top of your meat after it's cooked. A wonderful flavor experience. I'm a fan of feta cheese. I really enjoy it. I like its tang. I enjoy Greek food, so that's one of the reasons I wanted to share that with you. But I think it's great with a salad and hot, crispy, freshly baked bread. Absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Well, here in the state of Washington, we are finding that people are preparing for a lot of electric cars on the road. Now, what they are planning to do is here in the state of Washington, along Interstate 5 and U.S. Highway 2, at 40 to 60 mile intervals, they are starting an electric highway project. Now, I haven't seen very many electric cars at all, but this is something they apparently are preparing for. And right now, there apparently are 9 charging stations that we have here. And then the U.S. Department of Energy has 900 Nissan Leafs. This is involving a separate program that has been funded by the U.S. Department of Energy. They're expected to bring along with close to 2,000 charging stations into Seattle by the end of this year, 2011. Fascinating. I wonder how many people are really going to buy them. And then there are also some radio-controlled 1/8 scale, hydroplanes that race in the annual Oh Boy Oberto Championship Series. And they're going to be doing this in Marysville and Chelan's Riverwalk Park during this month of September. And apparently the model Hydros have a speed of about 60 miles an hour. So they are going to be doing these demonstrations, these races. My, my, my. What technology brings to us. And I really will be interested in seeing how many people are going to go out and buy the electric cars. We have some people in our neighborhood that have one, and they look like little squat boxes on four wheels, but there's not much room in them. And maybe if you're a real small person, you can fit in there, but you can't do much for grocery shopping, or if you had to go to any of your box stores to buy lumber supplies, etc., there's no place to put anything. But I am intrigued. I've seen one lady who is a neighbor. She has a little scooter. She's out just driving around, saving gasoline, saving money. Every summer I see her out there, and she's just tootling along. She's got on a bright green shirt that she wears that lets people know, watch out, here she comes. And she has her helmet on, and she goes off of the scooter. Well, that has been done in Europe for I don't know how long. People have used scooters there because gasoline was so expensive in Europe, still is, and that's how they would get around. It was a very inexpensive way to be able to commute. Well, here in the Pacific Northwest, with the amount of rain we get, I don't know that that's something that we're going to be too fond of. Well, Donna Siebel here. We are over for the day, and we are going to be coming back tomorrow with a new subject of dealing with the power of your past. Remember, always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Siebel. Thank you for joining me today. Look forward to having you here tomorrow. Tell a friend. Talk to you then. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.